It's hard to see yourself represented on the silver screen. In a world with less available roles to us, this industry can be so mean. So we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can't do, so act like a girl, we're here to support you.
Welcome to the Act Like a Girl podcast, everyone. As always, you have Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we are here with
Becky Zack.
Yay,
Becky. I love your name.
It's a great name. Mm-hmm. Becky Zack.
It's a stage name, but I'm not famous. It's so wasted.
But prepare.
Does your sister, is your sister Zack too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, two Zacks.
But it's they're both stage names?
No, I was kidding. It's like a natural born stage name that's gone to waste.
Oh. Oh.
We're so not hard
yet.
On ourselves.
You're so
as
young.
Yeah, as like entertainers, we're like, no, I'm not doing what I should. It's like, yeah, you are.
You're so young.
It's a dream.
I'm not young.
You look young. Freaking out because she turned 30.
I'm not freaking out. I'm being realistic.
30, that's the first stage of womanhood. Now, now you got a little knowledge to work with.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do feel
and your
confident.
Looks and your youth. You know, okay, 30 is a good age.
30 is the best. Yeah. I know.
I enjoy 30.
I've said this before. I know that I'm going to kill it at 30.
You're not far from it, right?
I'm not far from it. Yeah. I turned 28 in April, so.
Oh, you got a little. You like those kids that say, "No, I'm 3 and a half." I'm like, "No, you're 3."
I've got a little bit of time.
You're in your 20s, enjoy them. 29, you're going to start feeling it. Like, I'm sick of this 20 shit.
Oh, no, I already am.
I thought it was 30 on my 29th.
Yeah, you got old soul, so you probably. But enjoy it, though, because I rushed it.
I
rushed my 20s. I'm like, I'm grown. I'm grown. I'm oh.
But that's why I say when I'm like 30, 32, I swear I'm going to be like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good to go.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You're looking forward to it with a smile on your face.
Yeah,
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
women. That's what I mean. Empowerment. It's like stop being scared. They have us scared to tell our age. Can y'all believe that?
I know.
Think about that for a minute. It took me as a comedian to sit on stage and get the hits, like the old heads and
people
the quiet
always
and the
react.
Stares and the.
But
I'm like,
even if people react positively to your age, still people,
it's still
it's
weird.
Always a reaction.
Yeah,
people are always like, "Whoa," you know, and it's just like, shut.
I know.
Already.
Dude, I remember the time, like, literally, all I remember is going from, like, trying to look older to get into clubs to
Right.
To now, trying to look younger, but being like, I'm fine with, you look good for your age.
Yes.
Whatever age I am, I'm going to be like, as long as I look 3 years younger than it, if I'm 18, I look 77, fantastic.
Yeah.
It's good to the point, even if I look my age, good, because I could look older. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's fair too.
It's just so much pressure on us as women, you know what I mean? Yeah. To be like ageless and just this what do they want to hope? We're not even delicate, you know what I mean? Like the general came out and said women were like, well, I'm like, we were never delicate in this country, like treated like that.
I mean, even like the quintessential like housewife in the Midwest is probably getting beat by her husband.
I remember
so,
the ads.
Like,
I love the
60s
either. Ads because they were dressed so pretty. I'm like, and you wash dish? No dishwasher. Wash dishes. You iron clothes, and those little cute little heels and that. Oh, the pressure! Can you imagine? It's amazing. We're all insane. If they call us insane, that's why anytime you mention feminism, they're like,
crazy woman.
Yeah.
Scared because everybody's scared of change, no matter what the change is. Everybody's always so afraid of it.
Yeah.
So women being empowered would be a change, which is why people freak out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So how do you feel, Miss 30-year-old? How do you feel?
I'm feeling all right. I'm like, I've a lot of the time recently, I have been in situations where I feel like I should be nervous, but I'm not.
Good.
I don't know. Maybe it is an age thing. Maybe
it's
just
experience.
Like, yeah.
It's kicking in. You're like, maybe. Oh, been here, done that. Let's do it. You know what I mean?
And I'm like, yeah. Like, and Hollywood is a tough town. Like,
it's tough.
You're kind of used to getting either knocked down or built up within half a second. And you're like, you know what? Things tend to be okay. I never end up like, you know, homeless, which is great. I'm very lucky in that way. So, I mean, you know, our problems can be very much, you can make them seem huge, but they're really not.
But I think that's like almost the worst thing about Hollywood is that like, even when people are building you up, it's like always for the worst, not right reason.
Like it's always weird. Gross. And you're like, I'm happy for a compliment.
Right, but like
that, but I needed it because it's thirsty out here, you know, in this desert.
But at the same time, you're like,
yeah, it's like, okay,
it doesn't feel good.
It's never like appropriate,
yeah,
put it that way.
It's never about my brain,
yeah.
Oh, I was about to say, yeah, you should see my Instagram. I'll post something I think's hilarious, and it gets like 20 likes, and then I post a picture of my head doing nothing, and it's like 200.
Right.
Who
right.
cares? It's my stupid head. Everyone
it's
has
really,
one.
It's so shallow. It's really shallow. It's so
and I'm like, dude, if I was like, that's the thing with women in comedy. Like, it's like you're supposed to be a supermodel and funny.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who gives a fuck? Like, I'm like, why is it men are allowed to look however they want and do comedy?
Or it's almost like you either have to be like a supermodel and be funny, or you have to be like really not like quintessentially attractive.
Yeah.
As a
so
woman.
You're like the character actor
right.
style.
But, then, but there's like no, there's not very many like just like, you know, normal quote unquote looking.
But
women
then we
are,
still
you know?
Get as a whole, as a gender, get labeled as not funny.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So well, we can't win for losing. You know what I mean? Right. It's like you can't be too pretty because, you know, like when I first came out, I was wearing like mini skirts because, you know, I knew that was my little thing, my legs and stuff. They were like, "What? Excuse me, what are you trying to do? Like model, like strip or do comedy?"
Strip.
And, oh my
yeah,
god.
Strip. And I didn't know
just
I
because
was
you're
like,
wearing a mini skirt.
And I was in my like my young 30s. I didn't know. I was like, okay, let me just get funny first. And then I'm like, don't let them take that away from me. You know what I mean? It's yeah. like.
Oh my it's so God. True. I have like without even really realizing it, I've always had a complex about being openly like in any way vain, like putting makeup on. And actually, your roommate Maylee is the first person I've met in comedy because I haven't been in comedy too long. And so like the only girlfriend I've had really that has been very encouraging about humor and looking good, because she's just like, who cares what people think? Like,
yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
love
she
it.
Doesn't make me feel ashamed for wanting to be like feminine,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and like wear skirts and
yes.
stuff. Whereas before, in any comedy scene, whether male or female, I just try and be nerdier than I was,
yes.
and like kind of
play it down,
dress
yeah,
down,
totally.
Try and
dress it down, dumb it down,
yeah,
you know,
and like. Dudes are allowed to be hot and funny. I mean,
exactly.
There's still a little bit of, you know, people don't like hot, funny people, but in men. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hate to complain.
No, let's not complain. That's what we have to do as feminists to not apologize.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was legit.
Yeah.
What you said was legit.
No, it's I true. Mean, we've all experienced it too.
I know. I went to one atmosphere with other women. They were like, I kept saying, I'm sorry. It was, stop apologizing. That's what I got it from. I said, no. Why do we say that all the time?
I loved
sorry.
When Celia Finkelstein.
Sorry. Excuse me.
I loved when Celia Finkelstein was on the podcast. She kept a track of how many times she apologized
oh,
when
sorry,
she was on
me.
On
sorry.
This podcast, which I loved that. It's like, that's great. I mean,
yeah.
obviously I hate that she's
and then
apologizing.
It was an all-female, sorry, it was an all-female panel that came to the West Side Comedy Theater of writers, producers, like badass women in the industry. And all week we had like the males and the different like Tonight Show bookers and stuff. And when the females came, they were like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm excuse. Like, look how polite we are. We're like, stop saying excuse me. I'm sorry. You could just see it. It was so funny. It was
oh
like,
my God.
We, yeah, we're like that. Like,
we
I'm
apologize
sorry.
For being
excuse
on the
me.
Earth.
Sorry.
Yeah. So sorry. I had to buff
you. So sorry that
sorry,
I'm on
this
space. Planet.
You know what I mean? Sorry.
We're all just going to disappear. Essence. Okay. So Becky, where are you from?
I'm from Australia.
That's inside joke.
I mean, no, I'm British. I'm from England specifically. A lot of people think I'm Australian because my accent's a bit off.
I thought that, yeah.
Because I've been out here. Like, the Australian accent is somewhere in the middle of American and English. So, like, that's what people assume I'm from because I'm in that.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm from England and I moved here. I've moved a couple times. Never quite decided about LA because it's so volatile. but I've been off and on here for about 6 years. So.
Did you come straight to LA? And was that the first place that you went in the States? Have you lived anywhere
much.
Else?
Pretty much. My dad and my sister are both in Houston. My dad's been in Houston for a long time. My sister moved there a few years before me. And then I moved to Houston. She wanted to move to Hollywood. So we just drove across the country. Didn't have an apartment. Just were like, okay, I guess we're doing this then. And then found
it's
some
tight.
Like insane place to live, which was like a whole family household and a cat. And we just shared a bedroom for like a year. You know, the
it's
standard
tight.
LA
Hollywood,
dream.
Hollywood story, yeah.
It is.
And with your sister.
Honestly, yeah, like, I mean, having your sister.
That,
like, that
yeah.
Was, yeah like,
I honestly can't imagine having to. I'm so like in awe of people that do it on their own.
I did it on my own. It's like, damn. Oh. It was terrifying.
It's so scary. Especially, I mean, not to make excuses, but especially when you're not from the country. Like, visas are terrifying. The amount of stress
oh my God,
that visas
no.
have taken my life, like, it makes me feel like I'm a felon at all
visas
times.
Visas are so stressful. Okay, so how old were you when you moved to the States?
Oh, man. I guess I was about 23. Yeah, because
okay.
I just finished college.
Where did you go to college?
In England, De Montfort. No one knows what it is. It's just in the middle of the country, and it does a good media program.
You went for media?
Media, yeah. I've always done video production, which has been my main specialty. But then I kind of dabbled in music when I was a youth. as in 23, quickly realized that music wasn't really my thing, because I always had the most fun in the studio recording and joking with the engineers than singing. And so that kind of, and it really took me a long time to figure out that I was okay to do comedy, because it's such a thing. If you're not a super confident person, it takes a lot of years of experience to have the confidence to even try it.
Oh my God. My friend was trying to convince me. She was like, you need to go down in an open mic. And I'm like, girl, you crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We'll come support you. When she said that, I was like, well, maybe. Yeah. You know? She's like, girl, you need to. And I knew that she was that type of person. When she said it, you got to listen, because she didn't give out compliments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was like this girl that dated ball players. Like, she had a baby by a ball player, had a big house she bought, and this and that. Uh-huh. Now she's ready. She's finished with me. She's like, go on now. You know, go on and get your talent. Go on down to the comedy store. And I went down and it happened, you know?
I mean, I took a class. That's how, like, nervous
me
I
too.
Was.
I took a workshop.
I took a class, too.
I wouldn't dare not prepare, because you're setting yourself up for failure. You know, you don't even know. Yeah. Like, just hold a microphone. Some people, like, just dabble with the microphone and mess up your whole set, because we can't hear what you're saying, because you're wiping with the microphone, you know,
and like, yeah, and even just like being aware, I don't know, like, it's distracting sometimes what people wear. Not, and I don't mean like as far as like showing skin at all, but I mean like if you're wearing like a shirt that I can't read what it says but it has writing on it, that's so fucking distracting,
right?
And like,
right,
and just shit like that that like I didn't maybe think about, but then like going to that class and having a teacher just point that out to me, I was like, oh, it's so true though, like like, if I'm trying to read the joke on your shirt rather than listen to your jokes.
Yeah, that's a... You don't want to be, like, having a support act be your clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so you moved to LA. You lived in this house with this family for how long? For a year?
That was probably a year. Then my sister and I got our own place, and...
What were you doing in that time? Like, how were you surviving?
Savings, pretty much. I, like, had an internship, which was so shoddy. It wasn't a real thing. It was meant to be. Like, it was how I was in the country. Like, I had a student visa, kind of. But the guy was so hard to work with and just, like, tried to treat me like his little slave that just ran around after him doing just... It was horrible. Like, it was the worst time. And he just, like, totally took advantage of, like, the fact I was just a young girl that really wanted... He wasn't, like, creepy, but, like, not like Harvey Weinstein's type.
He was on another power trip. Right.
He was a power trip for sure. He definitely wanted like a young girl to like make him feel like a big man.
Oh, I'm so in awe of you. Oh my God.
Yeah. He basically made me feel like he was my dad. I'm like, dude, I just need like work experience, man.
Just one internship. This could be with anybody. Don't count yourself special, dude. What's exactly.
Like, I'm in the country, like, really, you've done your job.
Right.
But, it was cool. And enough, it was fine. But yeah, on the side I was like recording music and stuff. Like, obviously I couldn't make money on it because it's not legal, so that was the main thing with my LA experience, was like I could see all these, if I went for legit opportunities, I couldn't take them anyway because I didn't have, it's impossible, you cannot get a work visa, you actually just can't.
Wow.
Like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like transferred from England in like some crazy business position to another firm, it's absolutely impossible. Mm-hmm. So I was just trying to figure out like how to get to the point that I could work. And by that point that I've tried for so long, my visa ran out and I just went home because I was like, this is too much. Like, I just want to have a real life.
Right.
And in that time I'd also figured out that singing, as much as I love it, it's fun. It was, it never felt like a passion. I always feel like, because I used to be in an ABBA tribute band in college as like my job.
Amazing.
But it was something I accidentally fell into. I just don't know how that happened. It was bizarre. But my band people said I should try singing, so, well, like I said, I had more fun in the studio. Like, right. I hated most elements of like actually trying to be an artist. I didn't feel like I had any inspiration. I just wasn't a serious enough person, and I didn't like to access really deep levels of myself at that age. I still don't really either. That's why I like jokes.
But it takes a lot of courage to say no, what everybody thinks I am.
Yeah,
this is what I really
totally
am.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But also,
so I admire that a lot.
When it's something really hard to get into, people, if you have a friend and you're from like some other state that has nothing to do with entertainment, you just say you're a great singer, you should be famous. That's easy to tell someone,
right? That's
like,
and that's easy to think. Yeah, yeah.
Like, just being a good singer isn't, and being good anything isn't always gonna be the only thing that makes you make it. So,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It was just like, yeah, I had to realize that I wasn't necessarily wasting a talent, because there are people that were better singers than me that were more into it. So
you had the more passion.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. And that's what I don't understand with some people too. Like, it's like you see people with more passion, but they'll stay in it. I'm not going to say like taking up room for other people, but it's like, I just admire people that realize that it's appreciated more when you have a passion, because that's what we're receiving. Even if it's cooking, designing clothes, when you have a passion for it, you can see it. You can feel it. It's a gift. We serve other people. So it's like, you don't do yourself a service if you're not, you know, seeking your passion in life. To me, it's one
life. I agree. And you can tell it, and if you are the person doing it, you just feel like an imposter the whole time. Like,
but it takes so much courage. You had a lot of courage to say, hell no, I'm going to do this. Because comedy ain't no joke, man. This is the bottom of the totem pole for entertainment. Nobody cares. Nobody. You want to tell a joke? Okay. And you better make me laugh. I'm going to boo you. What other place you get booed than comedy? You know what I mean?
You're rubbish.
They don't boo you on Broadway. They don't boo you when you sing a song. They don't even have to pay attention. They still hit the song, you know, but.
So true. But in some way, like, music for me was more vulnerable than comedy because it's so serious. You don't, like, with comedy, I'm not a stand-up, but I know as a stand-up, you have so much control in it because you're the only person doing it. It's your material and you're just directing people when to laugh.
Right,
and whereas with music, it was like, this is me being completely earnest, doing my absolute best, and I'm not making joke of it. Give me your feedback. And it's the most terrifying thing to me. Like, comedy, I don't do stand-up. It is terrifying. But comedy in general, I just feel like I am not as scared to get rejection from it. I think because it feels more natural maybe as well.
Because you don't want to take yourself that serious as you have to. Well, and that's how I am.
I think also with comedy, you're probably just like in general more comfortable. Like you're like, I know what I am. I know what I'm good at. So like, it doesn't really matter to me what other people think about what I do. Because I already know who I am, you know. Whereas I could see like with singing. I sing and it's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
And also the other thing like about singing is like, if anything goes wrong, it's so transparent. Like, everybody knows. Like, the minute you hit a wrong note, you can't help but be like, ugh. You know? Like, it's just, like, your brain is just like, ooh, that was not right, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no real room for
error.
I don't know. I feel like if you got the voice, like a Whitney or somebody like that, then, I mean, yeah, I'll do it. Because people are like, you can sing. I'm like, I'm not going to try to learn the lessons. That's what I want to be. I want to be a Beyonce or that if I sing. Not saying everybody have to, but that's what I want to do in comedy. Like, I want to be the Beyonce and Whitney of I can feel that confidence. So I just feel like you need that passion to be the best. I mean, because what else are you doing? Just taking up room.
Yeah, I completely agree about the taking up room thing. Because, like, I mean, at the moment I'm applying for jobs and I know that job sites get hundreds of applicants and I probably won't even get my resume seen. And the job that I have, which is an internet video producer, there's not that many people that have as much experience as me and a few other people, because we started right pretty much when internet videos became a thing and it was even a job. So a lot of the people I know I'm up against, a lot of people may be way better than me, but also there's this huge lump of people that have just done it like for fun and now they want a job. And I'm like, and I'm applying for mid-level stuff, not entry stuff. And I'm like, oh man, they're not going to see my resume. And I have the experience. It's so stressful.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really comedy related. I mean, it is.
No, it is.
Yeah, because that's how you pay your bills. You got to eat. You know what I mean?
This podcast isn't only about comedy. This podcast is about all of the entertainment. So, I mean, everything is valid to talk about. It's just Tracy's juxtaposition is, she's just a stand-up. So that's, But, I mean, I create content too. So it's, and then the other thing too is like, I think this is crazy is like all the places that now, like everybody expects you to have everything yourself.
Yes.
You have to have all the editing equipment. Mm-hmm. You have to have the computer. Mm-hmm. You have to have you have to have that.
Just for an audition now.
Yeah. And like just for like a gig, like for a week long gig, they want you to have like all your own sound equipment or all your own whatever. And it's just like, I get it. Like that's what's happening. And like, that's what we're moving towards. And that's why freelancing is becoming so accessible, but it's just like, okay. Yeah. So I don't have a laptop. Like I have a desktop and I have an iPad. What do you want from me?
Right. I know.
You know, like
seriously,
it's so hard out here.
You want me to carry an office on my back.
Yeah. Like,
well, it's like actors like have to just come into a like an agency meeting with like 10,000 followers.
And they're like perfect headshots.
Yeah.
And like perfect skin and know how to do makeup on themselves.
Oh yeah. Do makeup tutorials. And no, like, today that was that. I'm like, dude, there's so many people that do makeup tutorials. Yeah. Like, how am I supposed to compete?
Yeah. And like, and then like also, they want, like, they want actors to, like, know casting directors.
Oh my God.
They want, like, they just, they want all of this stuff. They are, they want you to basically be just, like, ready made already.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, I mean, sure, I guess if that's working for them, then that's working for them. But it's just like, it makes it really just like
hard for broke people. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's just.
Yeah. It's like, obviously you got to work like 10 hours in a restaurant and go to auditions if you're an actor. Oh, and of course you've also got to spend.
That's right.
You basically got to become a professional social media manager for yourself.
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And like, and then also like another thing too, is like, if you're like my roommate Maylee, whereas she, you know, she's going on commercial audition after commercial audition, she has to like wear an outfit that like matches that and has to like look like what they're trying to sell, you know what I mean? So like on top of all of like who they want you to know, you also have to have all these different like costumes basically.
Gotta be there.
That is the dumbest thing
when they see you, just be there.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
if you're not creative enough as a director to see that someone change clothes, don't be in the business.
It's
really
so interesting to me. It's so interesting to me that that's industry standard.
Like, oh, we can't quite see you as somebody who wears a jacket if you don't wear a jacket.
Like, she had to do this one. She had to do this one where, like, she was, like, going to a hipster wedding. And it's, like, obviously, like, she could wear anything and you could tell that she could go to a hipster wedding. Like, you both know her. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't need, but she was, like, so worried about what she was wearing. And, like, it had to be floral and it had to be all specific. And, like, and it's just, like, why? Why should that be an added stressor for her? Like, just an actor should just be able to show up at an audition and like do the
work.
It's called
acting.
You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm acting.
You are the
ones
who pay for the wardrobe.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
you do all of that with editing and costume. All that. Let me just come in and show you this character.
Yeah,
naked.
It's crazy, and also it's like so ridiculous too when you think of it in terms of commercial acting, because most of the time those roles that you're going out for, you have like one line, and you're like on
the
screen for 2 seconds.
Story of the character. What were your choices with this woman that says yes?
Right, exactly. And they want you to be like fully like look like the character already. And like,
we need you to buy an iPad because you're selling iPads.
Yeah,
so we need you to bring your iPad and hold it.
Yeah, so that we can tell whether you can hold
exhausting.
An iPad. Like,
it's
what?
Exhausting.
It's so ridiculous.
And then you go to your job, and they want you to do everything too. It's like you have to go there to do your hours, to do your report, to do your. I'm like, this is HR. What happened to HR?
But then they expect you to like bring your own laptop. But then you can't work from home either, though.
That's the best. That's where I was at last job I had. Yeah. Spend $2,000 on a laptop so you can work here. And then you have to work where we say and when, and you can't shoot anywhere. We don't have any locations for you. Just magic it out of your ass.
Right.
That's most jobs in LA. It's like,
no, it's so
magic
true.
Magic it out of your ass is an LA slang now.
It's so true. And even like, I mean, this is another thing too. Like, you know, because I do a lot of crew gigs. And so like crewing, like people... like I'll like need gaff tape for something, I have to bring my own fucking gaff tape. Like everybody has their own gaff tape, like all the grips, that's their rings of tape, those are their own tape, and gaff tape is not cheap. Like, so if I want gaff tape for something, like I either have to beg someone else or I started bringing my own gaff tape onto set when I was just a second AD. like, it that's just like, that's so minor, but it's like, it's just, that's such a representation
of
like
another thing. I just can't go to work. I have to bring the work.
Like I have to bring my own pens. I have to bring my own paper. Like
I see,
because if you don't, someone else will.
Yeah.
That's, I hate that imbalance of power. I mean, there's so many industries where that exists. It's not just entertainment.
Of course, right.
They know there's a lot of applicants, so they'll just be like, it's just human nature too. You'll get what you can get out of something. And if they think the next person will bring their own laptop, guess you don't want the job
enough.
Right. Like, right. Well, and I want to do a good job, you know, so then I do bring my own stuff. And I do, you know, like, it's just like,
playing with your passion.
When do you win, you know?
You don't. You just die.
That's it. Hashtag.
When do you win?
I love that. When do you win? Maybe I can use that today. Because sometimes you got to have something to say. Like, calm you down.
When do you win? That
means I'm not the only one in this.
I don't understand.
When do you win?
Every morning I'm like, when do I get to win already?
Oh.
Is it today yet? Oh, man. I also feel like I've been really hard feeling that I've been kind of like been pushed away from jobs because of my feminist views and like the way that I am as a feminist. Like, I kind of feel like I'm like losing some jobs that I already have just because of my like
to be who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, you like, you are, you can't even downplay your feminine.
No,
your
I was crying yesterday ways. Because I came in and there was a news story on about women, like how there's been an uprise in women running for office.
Yeah.
I saw and that. I literally was just crying. Yeah. Like, but I, yeah, I feel like, okay, this boss of mine recently said to me, he was like, yeah, I just was worried earlier that you might think that I was looking at your cleavage, but I just wanted you to know that I was looking at your eyes.
What
I was
the like, hell? What?
I was like, okay, so first of all, obviously you looked at my cleavage.
Thank you.
Which I get it. It's good. Like, and we all look at each other's body parts, but like, you don't need to like say that to me.
Yeah.
And like, it's normal. Like, that's so normal. And like, also, I'm not on a witch hunt to look for misogyny.
Like, yeah, I think a lot of men think they are.
Everyone thinks that we're, and like, especially someone like me, is on a fucking witch hunt. And like, I swear that's why they don't want to employ me anymore, because they're worried that someday I'll come out and say something about them.
It makes sense. Feel like you're there to watch and look.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think he was
it's like, bitch, then don't be misogynistic. And then nothing.
Yeah.
He was trying to make you feel uncomfortable because he was feeling uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, let's say it already. Let's, What did you see me look at your breast? What's going on? Did you see?
And I was just like,
calm down.
I didn't even know that. Like, what?
That's normal everyday behavior.
I'm like, I'm not on a witch hunt.
I look at men behinds and butts and chests. You just, why?
We look at each other's body parts. That's not it. That's not what, like, that's not the problem.
Like, this guy, this other comedian put on, this Asian girl had 20 different boyfriends and got 20 different iPhones. He posted that. Then he posted me too. I was like, let me tell you something. First of all, don't mock it. You know what I mean? That's not me. Me too is non-consensual. What does that have to be? Because you don't know how hard they work for that. Evidently, they got something for something. You know what I mean? It was an exchange. It's not rape. It's not. Yeah. He was trying to use that me too. He said, because women write the laws. I said, no, white men write the laws. Yeah. Well, why can you advertise sugar daddies on billboards, but prostitution is illegal? I said, because men write the laws. When they say it's legal to say prostitution, then we'll say prostitution. You know what I mean? He was just so mad because this girl got 20 iPhones for these 20 different guys, and he tried to just take down me too with that. I was like,
oh,
really?
Oh my God.
That's ridiculous. That makes me really mad.
That's so stupid.
I'm like, we still good.
Also, prostitution is different than like,
manipulation. That's what she's doing.
Yeah. Well, also prostitution is different than like non-consensual.
That's what I was telling him.
So different. Like, and also there are male prostitutes also. Yeah. And there are also like sugar babies.
Like, you know, sugar boys. The reason why we can be sugar babies is because we say yes, and then we can't be prostitutions because it doesn't make sense. He's saying that we write the laws. I'm like, no, we don't. White men. And he's like, well, you guys write dating laws, well, how we date our social laws.
Oh my God.
Like, what? What are you?
That's so not true.
Women have all the power in dating because we're the ones that have the lowest sex drive, technically, right? Like,
we can say when it's legal or not legal. I'm like, no. Are you mad about her prowess to men and she can get what she wants? Men always want me to use them. What kind of car you like? They try to want you to use them. Like, what do you want? What do you need? I told them that. I said, I don't like it because I don't need you. Don't try to create a need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely had people try to manipulate me in that way.
Oh, so maybe she just gave him a taste of what they did to her. Oh, you want me to? Oh, okay.
Well, also,
I want an iPhone.
I mean, it's like, it's just as bad. It's just a weird cycle of like society. Like, if you're going to, like, you know, some people have the mindset of like, you know, who can play that game? If I'm going to be made to feel like the lower sex, then I'm going to manipulate you into giving the shit you think I can't afford.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, fine, good for
that's
her.
Just social. Yeah, right? That's just social. Yeah, that's nothing to do with me too. That just showed me, I was like, you shouldn't even want to fight that, man. It just says I get to say yes or no. No means no. That's all. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Those guys are really mad at me too. Dave Chappelle was at the Comedy Store. He made a joke. He made it funny though. He was like, that woman got me scared to say me too. It's so much going on. They got me scared to say me too. He was like, today I was like, oh, I will also, sir.
That's really funny. That's good.
So we really pushed the button with that me too. Mm.
Good.
Yeah, good. I know.
We need to be pushing fucking buttons.
Like it's the same with guilt about it.
Yeah, we shouldn't feel any guilt.
I wrote, like, I never write those stupid long Facebook statuses of, like, you know how people like everyone does it. Like we do it now and again. I try not to get involved because it just feels very soapboxy.
Right.
Like, who the hell cares what I have to say?
Then on your soapbox.
Yeah. And I was like, I got on my soapbox and I started yelling about you, me too.
Yeah.
And, like, I felt so guilty the whole time writing it because I was like, well, you know, I should just pipe down because everything's fine.
We've been taught that.
Like I say, like, I'm used to having male bosses that make me feel like I'm only there because of what I look like. I'm completely used to it. And it just feels like I should be thankful when a guy isn't trying to hit on me and hire me. Like, instead of just ever seeing that as like, it should just,
that's just how it should be.
How it fucking should be.
Right. Yeah. I feel like it's either one of two things. We either feel guilt about our Me Too stories, or we like don't even believe that they happened. That happens to me a lot. Like, I question myself. I'm like, is this really? Yeah. Should I really feel uncomfortable about this? This is past on Halloween. A fucking guy was like staring at me and following me. And at first I was like, I'm overreacting. But then, like, once he started yelling at the fucking front clerk of the hotel that I was hiding in and calling him, like, yelling racial slurs at him.
What?
He was Hispanic, so he was like yelling racial slurs at this guy. And so once that happened, I was like, oh, okay, no, I wasn't overreacting.
Yeah, he's
like, why does it take that? Why did I have to watch this guy scream at another guy for me to know that I'm not overreacting?
Because we have been so conditioned to believe that what comes to us, we deserve it. Like, what were you wearing?
That's the best part is that I was literally in my oversized sweatpants, my extra large sweatshirt, my fluffy slippers, and walking my dog at 8:30 at night on Halloween. Wow. Like, what?
It's not that. It's not what you wear.
It's literally not what you wear. Like,
if that's the case, go to the strip club then. Naked women all day. Right? You know what I mean?
Right.
Come on. It's a lie.
Like, have you never seen a woman before? Just press Google.
Literally Google.
Get on your phone.
Exactly.
Sit down on a bench, stop following her, and just Google woman in bikini. Like, you'll be fine. Yeah. I also hate, like, the thing that drives me crazy, like, is when people, like, they take advantage of you questioning it, and then if you do confront them or have a problem with it, they're like, I wasn't even doing that. When they
That happens to me all the time.
Oh my God. Like, I wasn't even trying to, like, hit on you. What's the matter?
Bitch, you're fat anyway. Yeah. You're ugly anyway.
Yeah, yes!
I wouldn't fuck you anyway.
Even though I just tried to.
My favorite, my favorite is when men say, it's not like I'm going to rape you.
My God. That's nice. Thank you. I wasn't going to rape you either.
Jesus Christ. Now I know that you're like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on your brain.
Oh, and yeah. Like, and it's like when, if you're walking home at night, I just think all men, even if they might, I'm 90% of nice, normal people, but you as a man, even if any kind of man, should know not to talk to a woman on the street when they're on their own.
Yes.
They don't know you, that you can't be offended that this woman is scared of you because they don't know you. You know you're a good guy.
Dude. And don't talk to me in the daytime. You don't know me. I could be going home to my husband. You don't know nothing about me. You know what I mean? If you come up and say, hey, how you doing as a person?
Yeah.
But just to be like, hey, all that. You don't know what my sister.
Literally like animalistic reaction to be freaked out by something. Because generally men are bigger than us, right?
Yes.
In size and stature. And like, it's literally within our animalistic reaction to be freaked out by something that's bigger than us yelling at
us.
Yeah, that makes
like,
sense.
Like, obviously we're like, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. And then like having that guy out there at 8:30, like following me and I yelling at this other person. Then I ended up calling the police and they came and I'm sure they didn't find him, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that I hate is like, they're always like, well, he was homeless, right? And they just try to write off every interaction as a crazy homeless person.
I did not know that.
Oh my God.
They always do. They always try to write it off as it's just a crazy homeless person and that's why. This person was not homeless, you guys. Like, this person was very put together. Mm-hmm. Their clothing was clean. They had like a backpack.
Yeah.
And they had like a book and a phone.
They just follow you. I got followed.
This was like a kid. Mm-hmm. This was a normal kid. You know? This is not.
That's who are raping the rapists out there aren't homeless. Yeah, no. Are you crazy? Homeless people chilling.
Homeless people are probably the least
homeless people.
Yeah,
they are. A lot of them are clinically insane.
Yeah, and they
can't leave them alone.
But I walk past them every day.
Yeah.
But these ones that follow you, they're conscious.
No, yeah. He knows what he's doing. He, like, That kid knew what he was doing.
And he even said,
I have him on video. He even said to the guy at the front desk, he was like, if I have a connection with her, if I want to talk to her, that's up to me. You don't get to say anything about that. He knew what he was doing. He was trying, like, but the thing is that he wasn't like, hey, I'm very interested in you as a human. You seem like a kind person. Could I take you out sometime? He stood and stared at me while he was 2 feet away from me and just stared at me.
And talked about a connection. Is that?
And that was rapey. Like, what?
What are you talking about?
What? And then while I clearly ran away scared into the hotel, he just proceeded to stand at the edge and just stare at me as I ran
and even cussed the guy out to get to you.
The guy out to get to me and tried to come into the hotel. And my mom, you know what I mean? My mom is always like, I fucking love you. You never know who has a gun. Like, just be careful. Like, just be careful. And like, that's scary too, that your mom, you know, and my mom is not like shamey or like victim blamey at all, but she's just like, you do have to be like extra careful as a woman, you know. And then to have your parent be telling you that, like, all women hear that from their parents. Most women hear that from their parents, you know, or like a figure of that sort.
She don't want to be the parent. Something happened and she never told you.
Right.
What I mean?
Right.
So.
Okay, Becky, what are you up to right now?
Well, I don't know.
That's great.
I just finished a job last week. So now I haven't had any time off, like with no crazy busy plans. And I can't remember how long. So right now I'm just like, oh, I guess I wake up and then something happens. Like, it's weird. I mean, hopefully I'm going to have a freelance gig next week. I get excited when I'm between jobs because I don't know what's next. And I'm kind of, I love change.
Like, yes.
I think my nature as a kid was always to be like, I want to learn trampolining for 3 weeks. Now I want to be a soldier. Now I want to be a horse.
Right. Right.
You know, like, loved like, and I was a horse and I was a very good
horse. Great. I'm sure you were. What jobs are you looking for?
Mostly just video producer, same as usual. I do like being on camera, not acting. I like being like a personality. So I wouldn't mind doing a few Buzzfeed videos, but my sister's there, so she might have to bring me in just to do some like fun trying things kind of videos. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mostly just video producer, which I've just, yeah, like I'm saying, like I switched jobs so much since I've been out here, and it's always at the exact point where I'm getting bored of the job that the company implodes. I don't know if it's me that is awesome. Cursing these companies.
That's how I felt about there's like a stint where like every restaurant I would leave, like within a month they would be closed.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Like every time I would quit somewhere, like, because I always know, I'm like,
maybe you have a sense Something's of failure. Like, I'm getting out, I'm jumping off the Titanic out. I'm getting out.
You're starting to blame the staff for lack of sales. You're not going to do anything. You're going to just up the prices of everything but not do anything about like advertisement. And you're just going to get mad at the staff and cut their hours. Oh yeah. That's going to work out.
That's like, we learned the recently that if a company stops buying snacks for the workers, it's going under. Yeah. Like, there's no doubt about it. Cupboards were bare.
Yeah.
For weeks.
Wow. Yeah.
I had to bring my own oats in.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah. And now it's going. So. Damn.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a new thing too. Companies come and go.
Yes.
All the time. So you kind of have to be freelance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pretty much. Unless you want to work for a big company.
It always has to be an option. And I think that's part of why, like, I'll always try to keep like at least one or two serving shifts until I really can't anymore.
Damn, I really
just
should.
Because it's like, yeah, just that extra 150 to 300
consistency.
A week is like,
yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't have to be like, oh my god, no money coming in.
Yeah.
No, that's me.
Yeah. I'm like him. I'm right there too. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel good because I feel free. Yeah. Do you feel free?
I do. It's weird. I've been so tired. When you're in a schedule, you don't realize what life is outside of it. And then you're like, oh my God, there's a tree over there.
Oh.
I'm going to go climb
I'm
that
gonna
tree.
I'm going to touch that damn tree. More than my 5 minute break, I was going to go buy a kombucha.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. So true.
Well, do you have like any like specific hopes or dreams for your future?
I mean, I'm British, so we're very often taught to kind of like not have too much of a, you know, high hope. It's not like, it's a hard thing to describe. The British thing is very much self-deprecating, like don't be too full of yourself, don't think you're worth too much, like you be very awkward and put your head down. So that's something I battled with, which has probably held me back a few years. And
So I have this YouTube channel with my sister, and we really would love that to be our full-time job. We like
what's
at the
it
moment,
called?
It's just Chloe and Becky Zach. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of like kind of video podcasts, I'd describe it, a couple vlogs, some sketches. And recently you know when you do something for a little while and then it just kind of falls into place as to what the theme is? You have a bit all over the place stand up yeah. styles, like people fall into a style. And
right,
like,
right.
So I really want to do like a travel vlog and I'm going to like hopefully approach some companies with, we got a couple episodes where it's Colorado, we went to Santa Monica. So that'd be really cool. The best thing ever would be to be running a YouTube channel with my sister.
That's
that would
awesome.
Be best.
That's yeah, awesome. That's
great. I don't need to be on TV.
And you're already doing it, so hey, you're right on yeah. track. You
right.
know?
I know, but we'll see.
Getting paid to do it would be good.
Yeah, that's the goal.
You Brits come over here and are very successful, so I don't even know where all that self-deprecating come from, because you guys come over here.
Because the ones that come over here are trying to break out of that.
Oh, well, you got over here.
I've like to learn so much about like confidence in America. I used to like...
We got too much.
Yeah, now I'm just like ego monster, like... What? I get all the jobs. No, I can assure you I'm not.
I don't think that, yeah, I, even if you were, like, I don't even think that that's real. Like, that's not, I don't know. Well, that's not true, I guess. There are people who are really annoying. Yeah. But yeah. But for the most part, if someone loves themselves, I'm just like, hell yeah.
That's where I want to be at. I hell think, yeah. like I said, Maylee, same again, love her. But she's great. Yeah. She did the same thing. She made me be much better with being like, yes.
Yeah.
Good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. If you love yourself, it's not annoying. You know what I mean? Yeah, only right, when you right, don't. Right. It's like, oh
God.
Yes. Yeah. Dark, get away. Like depressive. Like.
We get it. Okay. So how can we follow you? Oh, wait. What is, okay. Back it up. Back it up. Back it up.
Back it
what
up,
does
up,
feminism mean to you?
Feminism. Do you know what? I think it means wanting and hoping for equality. I don't think it means, which we've kind of talked about, I don't want to tear down men to be at our level. I want to raise women up to be at their level.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I hate the idea of the witch hunt. I think that's a big problem with feminism at the moment. I think that a lot of men are getting resentful against women because they feel like they keep doing shit wrong and they don't even mean to do anything wrong, right? So I want women to, instead of like demonize men, I think if we just do what we're saying, like big each other up and then demand higher standards just in life, I think that's feminism, is like having the confidence to not attack the opposition.
Mm.
I think that's what I think feminism is.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, how can we follow you, Becky?
You could, well, don't follow me into a hotel and then yell at the receptionist. But
how
if you'd like
follow
to do
you
it on the
street?
Internet, virtually, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter, Becky_S_Zach, which is Z-A-K. And my YouTube channel, Becky and Chloe Zach. That's my main
That sounds
haunt.
So cute.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're super cute.
Like y'all just chilling on there, having a good time.
It's very weird.
Like the like brunette version of Becky.
Oh,
y'all don't look that much alike, but like,
nah,
but really. You're like both like the hot blonde, hot brunette British girl. You. Yeah.
I don't know. Again, that's not the focus, but the comments seem to think it is.
No, but it's true.
That's good.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm not that's arguing. Good. If it's again, it's yeah. playing the game. If it gets us higher up, then who cares?
Like, I mean,
both are great. It's like, yeah, both are great, man.
And that's what's so hard too, because that's what my thing was in comedy. I was like, forget looks. I just want to be funny, funny, funny. And then I started getting inspired by Beyonce. I was like, fuck that. I want to be both.
Yeah.
I'm full woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I
want to
feel
roar.
That. Yeah. And I want to be funny. So.
Yeah. Totally.
I think that's
and we think, and we're guilty of that as women. Like, no, I'm just trying to be serious. A serious
yeah,
lawyer.
Yeah. Or feeling like, okay, I think that, wow, I just came to this realization. I think that Sex and the City kind of like fucked us over in that sense where like, we kind of feel like we have to fit into one of the boxes.
Yeah.
And we're like not allowed to be like both.
Right.
You know, like we have to be a Charlotte or we have to be a Carrie or we have to. And like, you know,
I don't
you can't be like you can't be Miranda, who's really smart and a lawyer, and then also be like hot like Carrie, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah. which I think Miranda's hot, too. So whatever. But just,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Assigned roles.
Yeah. Anyway. OK. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Act Like a Girl podcast. As always, it's been Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we were here with
Becky Zach.
You guys can follow us on socials at Act Like a Girl TV. And our website is actlikeagirl.tv. There's a get involved page on the upper right hand corner. Please reach out to us and let us know what you think.
Yes.
Goodbye, everyone.
See you next time.
Thank you. Bye.